Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
I want to talk to you a little bit about the importance of being in His presence. And being aware of Him. You know, we know that God is, you know, omnipresent. He is everywhere. But it's about us cluing in. It's about me cluing in to His presence. That He is present where I am at. And being in His presence and having that awareness, it does something for us. It changes us, and sometimes it has a variety of changes on us. We change our mind about things. We feel security, things like that. If you are in trouble or in troubling circumstances, you may question and wonder, you know, where is God? But the Bible says this, that He is our present help in times of trouble. That's what the Scripture says. So I want you to know, don't gauge your circumstances by, well, my circumstances aren't good. Obviously, God isn't here. He isn't paying attention. The Scripture says that in our times of trouble, He is present. He is there. He is not the kind of God that says, oh, you're having trouble, and, I'm just going to kind of back out of this and get out of the way, and, you know, when things are nice, I'll show up. That's not who He is. I mean, granted, when things are nice, He does show up, but He doesn't vacate when there's trouble. I want to talk to you this morning about being in His presence, and I want us to start with this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and this is a very familiar verse. Now, if you don't have a Bible with you this morning, there's a Bible in the pew rack in front of you. I want you to know you can take that Bible out. You can look at some scripture references as we move along this morning. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is a verse that I will read. There are some other verses that I'm probably just going to mention their reference and move along this morning. If you, by the way, are here and you do not have a Bible, I want you to know that Bible in the pew rack in front of you that you just pulled out, I want you to know that's a gift to you. You can take it with you. It's yours. You don't have to return it. You make it your own. You can write your name in the front of it. It's a gift to you. We have more of those, and we replenish them. We do not want you to leave here without a Bible. That's a gift to you. Whether you ever come back here or not, doesn't matter. No strings attached. That's God's gift to all of us, is His Word. And so I want you to take that with you this morning if you don't have a Bible and make it your own. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, therefore, anyone who is in Christ, he is a new creation. Can you say new creation? The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. You know, when we put faith in Christ, there's a transformation that takes place in us. And I just want to touch on this briefly. And yet, it's so foundational. But when we confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and we understand that He died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, okay, and we put faith in Him as the Son of God, we confess our sins, ask Him to forgive us, and then we choose to say, you know, would you please help me now become your disciple, to follow after you, to have a living relationship with you. Not just believe you're out there somewhere, but to have this ongoing relationship, this awareness of your presence, this awareness that you and I, God and you, can have this relationship in life. This transformation is that we have become the Scripture talks about. And if you haven't heard it in the Scripture, you've probably seen it on a bumper sticker or somebody, you know, say something about it. It's being born again of the Spirit. We have been born again. We put faith in Christ. We are born again of the Spirit. We are now in His family. We are now in His kingdom. Though our body might look the same and people still call us by the same name, and they recognize our physical features, we are actually a new creation in the spirit, the spiritual part of us. There's been a spiritual regeneration that happens because we put faith in Him. We were in His presence. We acknowledged Him. He made Himself known to us. This is what I want us to touch on this morning as we move to this in His presence. It's this. Is it possible, and I know that it is because Paul writes about it in several places, but specifically in the book of Galatians, chapter 3 and 4, he talks about those who have been born again, and yet they start doing things in their own effort. My question this morning is, if we're a new creation, it says the old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. That there's a change. Instead of living the old way and living under the influence of the old life, the life before faith in Christ, it's passed away. Life changes and things are now new. We live different. We catch ourselves in not living under the old patterns or the way we used to do things. We catch ourselves and say, wait a minute, this is supposed to be different now. What does Christ have to say? What's the Bible have to say? What is His Spirit revealing to me? If the old has passed away, how come we still live under the past? If the old has really passed away, why do we continue to fight some of the tendencies we've developed in our sinful life that are contrary to how we are supposed to live as a Christian or as a believer? We're a new creation. It wasn't just putting faith in Christ and saying, well, I'm still the same person, but now I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and I've got to just kind of change some of my conduct. No, we are a new creation. We have been made new. We have been in His presence. Something has been transformed in us that we do not have to live under the old because it has passed away. It's puzzled me, and I know that in our life we wrestle with our flesh, and we have to die to ourselves, and we have to live unto Christ. And I know that there's a battle between these two things, but I'll tell you what puzzles me. As we, believers, go to altar after altar, go to revival after revival, or go to some wherever we've been, and camp after camp, and all of this, and we have a good time, we know we were in His presence, we may have cried a little bit, we may have experienced some physical healing, we may have been baptized in the Holy Spirit with the initial physical evidence of speaking in tongues, according to the Scripture in the book of Acts, and we have experienced Him and all of this. And yet, some of our conduct changes, but our inner man, it's like we haven't been regenerated. We still live under the old, with our tendencies, with our mistrusts. We still hang on to our hurts. We still hang on to the injustices that have been done to us and developed an attitude because of that. And now we have faith in Christ. We've experienced Him. And we say we're a new creation. But has the old really passed away? This is why it's so important for you and I to be in His presence. That after this salvation experience and confessing Jesus as Christ in our life, it's so important that we continue to live with Him and spend time with Him and be in His presence. In His presence, marvelous things have happened. And I want to share some of these things as reminders to you. None of these are maybe earth-shaking for most of you in this room, but I want us to remind ourselves of what being in His presence has done in the lives of people. In the lives of groups of people, what His being in His presence has done to bless nations, other people, how it's brought a transformation. You know, you can look back to Old Testament and you look back to Moses, and you can get a panoramic view of this if you watch the Ten Commandments. The old one with Charlton Heston. And I know that you're going to look at some of the special effects and go, what? But back then, it was cutting edge. Now, not everything in there is biblical, but it'll give you a little bit of a view. You see, Moses finds out that there's a glow on the mountain and understands that when he discovers this glow and he talks to the people who live there and eventually a woman who becomes his wife, they go up, he goes up, and he wants to see God. If God is there, and his people are slaves in Egypt, where Moses came from, why hasn't he heard their prayers? He's going to go have it out with God. And he goes, and he steps into God's presence, because God's presence was the physical display of his presence that manifested on that occasion was there was a bush and it burned. It had flames, but the bush was not consumed. And a voice came, spoke to Moses. Moses removed his sandals. He discovered that as he got close, he was standing on holy ground. Being in God's presence changed Moses. He had a revelation of who God is by being in his presence. And he also had a revelation come to him of purpose for his life. If you don't know who God is, I encourage you to step into his presence, step into his word, worship him, come into his presence and let him reveal himself to you. Talk to him. Listen for him. He knows how to get your attention. You may think, I don't know if I could hear God. I don't know how to hear his voice. I don't know. Listen, he knows how to get your attention. He knows how to reveal things to your heart, to your inmost person. He knows how to reveal and give you understanding of the Scripture. He knows how to do it. He is not made of wood or stone fashioned by the hands of men. He is living. Always was, is, always will be. I don't care who told you something different. I don't care what has happened in your life that has led you to discredit God in your mind. I'm telling you, none of that changes the fact that he is. For Moses, he didn't just grow up worshiping God. He got into his presence, and God revealed himself. And Moses, when he left his presence, he walked out with a brand new purpose. If you are looking for purpose in this life, get in his presence. He will give you purpose. You may understand some of the reasons and responsibilities that you have, but sometimes we come, you know, to the big question, you know, what's the meaning of life? Or what am I supposed to do with my life? Or I just feel like I'm biding time. What I'm doing now, I never really felt to do, and I just kind of started out doing it for a while, kind of just, it was something to do, and I needed money, and so I did this job, and all of a sudden, 12 years went by. And you're wondering, what is my purpose? You get in his presence, he knows how to give you purpose. You look in the Old Testament and you will see certain kings that before they went to battle or in the battle, they went to seek God. They went and sacrificed unto him. They went and prayed unto him. They called the prophets in. They wanted to seek God and find out from God and move with God's blessing. Let me just ask you this. What battles are you facing in your life? Don't sit back and say, this battle is too much. It's been going on for a long time. I don't know how to have victory over it. Doesn't God care? Listen, get into his presence. He knows how to bring about the victory. And sometimes the victory on the outside we're looking for, there first has to be a victory in us of God's presence in our life. That's where the battle is inside us. And we're busy looking out here at the circumstances. First things first. You can look at some other things about being in God's presence. We look at the New Testament, and of course it's chocked full because of, you know, four of the Gospels are there, and it gives us a glimpse of Jesus, who he is, how he treated people, how he spoke. I mean, from a variety of things. We know he healed the sick and caused the blind to see and raised up crippled people and withered limbs became straight and usable. And we know he did those healings by being in his presence. People got in his presence. People called out to him when he was nearby. They got in his presence and things happened. Things changed for them. It was a revelation of who Jesus really is. I encourage you to get in his presence. A storm comes up, and his disciples are worried. And Jesus calms the storm. What storm is going on that you need Jesus to be present to calm it? What are you facing? What's going on? You can come here this morning and you look nice and you can kind of portray you're happy, and inside there's dark clouds. There's some thunder, there's some lightning, there's some turmoil. Get in his presence and let him calm the storm. Jesus, you get in his presence and you acknowledge him, he forgives sins. You'll see him in the Gospels forgiving sins. A woman caught in adultery. Don't live like this anymore. Those who were here to condemn you and stone you, they've left, and I don't condemn you either. Your sins are forgiven. On another occasion, there's a person who is paralyzed. He says, listen, your sins are forgiven. Pick up your mat and go home. You get in his presence, acknowledge him. Jesus knows how to forgive sins. If you're a believer in this place, a Christian in this place, and you're suffering from guilt because you know that you're called to be a Christian, but you're tangled up in some sins, and it's not something you want to confess because you know that, you know, you're not supposed to live like this, you and I know better, or certain things we're not supposed to do, certain things we're supposed to do, and we're carrying guilt from it. Listen, get in his presence. That's what David did. King David in the Old Testament, he got in God's presence. He confessed. He asked forgiveness. He said, I will teach other people your ways. And purpose came. All from being in his presence. Jesus, he knows how to multiply resources. You get in his presence, he knows how to multiply resources. Listen, there's 4,000 people on one occasion. There wasn't enough food for them. He multiplied the resources that everyone was content, and the scraps that were picked up afterwards were more than what he started with. The same when he fed the 5,000. The scraps afterwards, the leftovers, were more than what he started with before he multiplied it. He knows how to multiply resources. Physical resources and invisible resources. Resources of who he is in our life when we don't have enough patience. When we don't have enough wisdom. When we don't have enough strength. Being in his presence, all who he is available in us, through us, to us. In his presence, he also knows how to rebuke and correct. You watch him in the New Testament, and you can find this in different places, but Matthew 23 is obviously a famous one because he gives the seven woes. Woe to you Pharisees. Woe to you, scribes, you attorneys of God's law. Woe to you! He knows how to rebuke the arrogant and the prideful, those who think they're spiritual, those who think they're holy. They get in his presence. He knows how to point things out. Oh, he's filled with grace, and his grace is that he points this out. And we have the opportunity to admit it, confess, Accept it and be changed. Become a new creation. Get in His presence. He knows how to convict us of things that are not right. Not because He's mad at us. He cares about us. He wants to live in right relationship with us. He loves you. He doesn't want to see you destroyed. The mindset that sets itself on the things of the flesh bring death and destruction, Bible says. If we have a mindset on the Spirit, it brings peace and life. So He will confront us when we need it, if we will get in His presence. You look at Acts chapter 2. It's the outpouring of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost. They were getting together for prayer, the believers, the disciples of Jesus, after He departed this world, after He, you know, resurrected from the dead and before He ascended into heaven. They started getting together, the believers, started gathering for prayer. They kept seeking the Lord and calling out to Him and praying and meeting together. And as they got in His presence, the Holy Spirit was outpoured on them. The Holy Spirit came upon them. It baptized them with a power that they could not have on their own. In Acts, it says that times like these will come for refreshing for us. That there was a refreshing that went on. Hey, listen, are you weary? Are you worn out? Are you tired? Are things dry? Are things in life empty? Even the things that you're doing that seem to be good, are they empty? Getting in His presence will bring refreshing to you. Renewal to you. You just worn out from life? Maybe it's no specific event that's happened that wore you out. Maybe there is. Maybe it's just been a constant flow of demands. Maybe there's things that in your past have robbed you, taken from you, stole you. Maybe you're at a place where in some circumstances you didn't know any better. You were a victim of what was going on, and you know what? You just thought this was life, and so that's the way you did things. I want you to know you get in His presence, all of the old stuff passes away. And your innocence that was gone, the purity can be restored by being in His presence because it's who He is. If you're in Christ and you're a new creature and you're in His presence, the old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And for those of us who know this verse, we've read this verse, we've told other people these verses, then you and I had better make sure that the old has passed away and that we are no longer living under the influence of the old. We need to be in His presence and be reminded of the new and the ongoing and the upcoming. If the things in the past have robbed you of joy and happiness and gratitude, get in His presence, because those old things will pass away. Because the Bible says this in Psalm 16, it says this, that in His presence, in His presence is the fullness of joy. The fullness of joy. Not like, well, a little more joy than your sadness. No, it is the fullness of joy. The fullness. I have watched, because I'm old enough now and I've been around ministry and in the ministry long enough. That's not an arrogant thing. It's just I'm really grateful and I'm old. So I've gotten to see things. I have watched people time and time again in conferences, camps, retreats, services, in my offices. I've watched the presence of the Lord come in and somebody want to be in His presence. And I have watched them. I've watched them receive healing, physical. I've watched them receive healing to a heart that's been broken. I've watched them. I've watched peace come over them and anxiety and panic attacks leave them. Not to return. I watched people who came in so worn out and beat up, and they got into his presence and they acknowledged the Lord. And I've watched them, not just read about them, but watched them get renewed in strength, something that a vacation could never do. I've gone on a few days vacation and come back worse. Yeah. Maybe because it wasn't long enough, but whatever. Hey, I know, listen, there is something that rest can do for our body and our emotions. There is something that food can do for our body, but you know what? None of these things, though they help sustain us because God set it up that way, but none of those things are going to be the total answer. It is being in his presence. Listen, you can go to a great event. You can go to your concert. You can go to the football game. You can go to whatever. You can go to the awards ceremony and win something, and it's wonderful. But I'm going to tell you this. It is not like being in his presence. His presence is what transforms us. It renews us. It refreshes us. It continues to let us know that the old has passed away, and behold, I am in the new. You can't buy this in a bottle. You can't order it at the restaurant. It's being in his presence. I have watched hard, cold, critical people. I have watched them have conversation right in front of my eyes with me, and the presence of God comes into the room, and they begin to soften. And they begin to be humble, and they begin to maybe admit some things. And all of a sudden, the next thing you know, they're weeping. Men. Men. Tough guys. Guys who ride Harleys and wear leather. Mean guys. Guys with a bad past. Guys with multiple failed marriages. Guys who didn't know how to be a dad because they never had one. Tough guys. Broken guys. I've watched them in the presence of the Lord become a man for the first time. I've watched it. I've seen it. I've watched the presence of God come on people who are so sad, so worn out, and all of a sudden in his presence, the joy overflows. And I don't mean they sit there and go, oh, I just feel good all over. No, they begin to uncontrollably cry, and the next thing you know, they're laughing. And something happens. Something has happened in them. When they get up and they walk away, their circumstances at that point haven't changed, but they have been changed. And they walk back into their circumstance with some type of new power from being in God's presence that they're able to see clearer. They're able to walk into it. They don't feel alone. They know that God has done something in their life. That's being in his presence. I know I've gone over 20 minutes, Josh, I'm sure. But start to assemble the worship team up here, please. It's about being in his presence, being people of his presence, being people of his word. Listen, we're going to have a worship time. We have one every Sunday in this room. We praise and we worship, and you will see people raise hands. You will see some people step out from where they were sitting, and they come and stand here or kneel down. Some go stand in the back. Some begin to weep and cry. Some sit down and just bury their face. Be in his presence. You have an opportunity today to clue in. I have an opportunity today to clue in to his presence in this room. To gain a revelation of who he is. You know, I'll be honest with you. There are times where I have taken the scripture. I have taken the scripture and I said, I'm going to study this. And it's good. We're supposed to do this. I read it. I cross-reference it. I find a commentary. I go through what some different people have said. Dismiss some of them. Look at some others. And I'm trying to figure it out. And I'll read something from some author. Don't tell my wife I read. But I do. And I'll search and I'll study and I'll go back in books that I've had for decades because I'm old enough. I haven't that long, Jim, you and I. By the way, you look good. Not just for your age. You just look good. And I study these things. And it's good. And sometimes, you know, yeah. And you start to gain understanding. I'll tell you what I love. Not because it lacks the work and it's easier. I can be thinking about something. I can be studying something. I still can't put a grasp on it. And I will go, Greg, and I will go be in his presence. It could be on my bed. It could be in my office. It could be a stroll through here. It could be a walk on the park. I could be behind the wheel of my vehicle. And all of a sudden, I'm talking and I'm listening and I'm in his presence. And I know he's there. It's just like knowing when your friend is there. You don't just see them. You sense that they're there with you. And I know he's there and in his presence. And in a flash, the understanding comes. The revelation comes. Why? Because I was in his presence. It wasn't just laboring and trying to do it without him. It was being in his presence and revelation came. Understanding came like that. Boom! Oh, I understand it. It's about being in his presence. He can heal you that quick. He can deliver you that quick. He can give you peace that quick. He can give you joy that quick. And the great thing is, though he can do it suddenly and he can do it that quick, it lasts longer. It's not a fleeting moment. It has now become a part of who you are because you have been in his presence. What is it you face? What storm? What disease? What trouble? What anxiety? What sadness? Get in his presence. Every Sunday we come in and we worship. You have it. That is the opportunity. And we are in his presence. We know we can do it in other places. But when we come together in this place, his presence should just unfold among us. We should be swept away. Just swept away. I want his presence to fill this place where once again I get to the point where I say, you know what? I just am not ready to leave here yet. Do you know what I mean? I'm just not ready to leave here yet. I'll put it in some other human terms. And forgive me, but you know, I'm human and I'm just giving it to you on this level. A friend of mine asked me, do you ever find out that when you're done with your motorcycle and you're heading home, sometimes you just take another little detour, another little 5 minutes? I said, yeah. It reminds me of the day when you're dating and you're having a really good time with a young gal and you just don't want to drop her off at home yet. You're just not ready yet. It's like just a few more minutes. Just a few more minutes of the Harley. I'm going to go through this neighborhood. I'm going to take this way home. I'm still going to take one more little detour. It's like being in his presence. It's like one more song. Just another moment. Lord, don't leave. Not yet. One more prayer. I want to pray with one more person. I want one more person to pray with me. Just your presence, just a little bit more, just a little bit longer. Not yet. I want his presence to begin to fill this place and fill our lives, not just today, but in the days to come, that there would be this building, this increase, this wave after wave, that we would just want to be in his presence and just say, you know, it's just not enough yet. I've been in those places and watched it happen. I've watched Sunday lunches get burnt because husbands and wives decided to stay a little later, and you know what? She didn't care like she used to. They still ate something else. It's not like tough it out and eat this thing. I watched it happen. I watched it happen for people. I remember meeting a professional. He was a little older than me. Well, he's still older than me, but at the time, you know, I was fairly young. My late 20s, early 30s. I went to visit him at his office. Professional. He's an architect, does designing, has done some marvelous buildings and contemporary things for some very significant places. And I remember going into his office. And we were talking about the Lord. And he was carrying a heavy burden and a lot of demands, and I'm not going to go into all the things that he had going on in his life. But I watched, and I sensed that the Lord just came into the room. Katie, he just came into the office at this place. And his office was in Birmingham, Michigan, a very upscale place in Michigan. And I watched him come right into that room, Katie, the Lord. And I watched this grown man. Professional, intelligent. I watched the burden get lifted right off him, all the heavy things. He just came in, you can just see it on him, the weight. And I watched him, and we had a little conversation, and then I just looked at him, and I just said, I'm not saying anything more. I'm just letting the presence of the Lord do this. And I watched this professional behind his desk begin to put his head down on his arms, and I watched the joy of the Lord just come over this guy. And I don't mean for a moment. I mean for several minutes. Just sat there. The Lord knows what he needed. And we just decided to let the presence of the Lord come into the place. In a moment. In his presence. What might happen this morning during this time of worship if we just don't do the routine? Well, the physical expression might look the same, but in here, we are cluing in. We are acknowledging him. We're being swept away. Though there's a crowd of people around us, we kind of forget that they're there. Do you ever have that happen? Huh? You ever have that happen? I've watched that happen to me. I've watched it happen to other people. Do you ever see that person in the theater? I heard about this because I generally don't go to movies, theaters, and some of you do that, you know, that's your business between you and God, what you're watching, but I remember hearing the story. A conflict came on the screen, and she stood up in the middle of the theater. She forgot she was there, and she went, "No!" "Sit down, you're in a public place." "Oh, yeah." So into it. What if we would get so into his presence? So into his presence. So into his presence. Forgot that there's an audience around. The food could wait. The party could wait. And this event could wait. And the Sunday afternoon ride could wait. Because of him. Because of him. Why don't you stand up in this room? We're going to go into a time of praise and adoration unto the Lord. If you need revelation of God, you're here and you're not sure who he is, this is the moment to say, okay, I'm being your presence. I want to know who you are. Do a work in me. Jesus, if you are who the Bible says you are, not always who the church has said, because we've not always portrayed him correctly, churches by and large. But if Jesus, if you are the person of the scripture, then I want to know you. I want you to come into my life. If you're at the beginning journey, you ask that. If you're in trouble, pray. Get into his presence. Show him gratitude. Give him thanks for who he is. Get into his presence. You need healing in your body? You need forgiveness of sin? You need deliverance? You need joy? It's all found in him. When we say things like, "My Jesus is my everything," we think that's just some kind of phrase and, well, you know, everything. No, he literally is our everything. We could sit and begin to list them one by one. We would never get anything else done in our life. He's the specific things, not just the everything. He's the specific things in our life. Get in His presence today in this place. Father, I want to be in Your presence today. So forgive me, forgive us our sins. We confess Jesus, Your only begotten Son, our Savior. We believe in the ministry of Your Holy Spirit. But we want to get in Your presence today. Not as a spectacle to anybody else. For You see what goes on in the heart. Whether it's pretentious, pretend, whether it's just emotion, or if it's this wonderful emotion attached to a spiritual expression of faith. You see our hearts. Could we leave our old self? Lord, help us leave our old self and step into a new. Let us be a new worshiper today. Not the old worshiper we've been, a new worshiper. The old has passed away. A new worshiper, a new way, a new tongue, a new song, a new grace, a new truth upon truth manifested among us today and in the days to come. In Jesus' name, let's worship Him.
Let's sing this song as a prayer together. Lord, I give You my heart. I give You my soul. I live for You alone. In every breath that I take, every moment I'm away, Lord, have Your way in me. Lord, I give You my heart and give You my soul. I live for You alone. In every breath that I take, every moment I'm away, Lord, have Your way in me. And Lord, I give You my heart and give You my soul. I live for You alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away, Lord, have Your way. Lord, I give You my heart, I give You my soul. I live for You alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away, Lord, have Your way in me. Lord, I give You my heart. Let's lift Him up and give You my soul. I live for You alone. In every breath that I take, every moment I'm away, Lord, have Your way in me. Father, we give You our hearts, oh Lord God.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.